All right. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm not Gabe Kuhn, but I am former Memphis Tiger videographer and your host for today, Connor Dunning. You can find me over on Twitter at CDunning929 and on Blue Sky. Just look up Connor Dunning and I should pop up. I want to remind you that you can listen to us anytime on the radio, on the Odyssey app, and now the iHeart app. You can download all of those for free. All free, all the time. Your number one sports station for Memphis and the Mid-South. We got a fun show for you today. We are going to open on the Grizzlies Summer League action and discuss the state of the Memphis Grizzlies. Where are they? What are the truths about this team? What should you expect this season? Is it truly going to be a step back? And could that step back lead to two steps forward? We'll talk about it for a little bit. Just catch up on everything that's gone on with the Memphis Grizzlies and what you should expect from this upcoming NBA season. I also want to talk about Mayshak and some of the players that I think he may be showing flashes of so far in the Summer League. I'm trying to resist falling completely head over heels in love with a guy after two Summer League performances, but if you've been listening to me on this radio station for the last 7 years or so, you know that a player like Mayshak is exactly the type of player that I will fall in love with. But there are
a lot
two
of glaze going on over there.
Okay, relax, George. You have to ruin everything. Good Lord. Good Lord.
Tell your story.
How dare
that's
you? Don't
say.
Make me call you the nickname that I refuse calling you.
You can go on right ahead and do that. So, I don't mind.
We're going to open the show with Mayshak talk, Grizzlies talk, and then at 4:30, the big man himself is going to join us. I think he's going to try to join us in studio. He just landed getting back from San Diego. The first question I have to ask him is, are you ever going to fly Southwest again? We'll get the full story.
Can that be the second
what
one?
Went down.
I think the first one needs to be, why'd you fly Southwest in the first place?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll ask that question first. But then we'll get the full travel story from Gabe Kuhn. If there's anything that we enjoy, it's a bad travel story. It feels like every single one of us has at least one. So we'll share all that at 4:30. Then David Cobb at 5 o'clock. I'm going to talk to him about Mayshak once again. And then over on CBS Sports, they have a coach's hot seat ranking. Every single FBS coach has been ranked, and Ryan Silverfield is on the list. But let me tell you this. He was given a number one, which means he is safe. So we're going to talk to David Cobb about that and what the expectations for Memphis football should be coming up this year. Then the Blitz is going to be at 5:25. We'll talk about the NBA Cup groups that got released. Chet Holmgren got a really big rookie extension. Ooh. We'll talk about that. And then the MLB All-Star Game is going to have a little bit of a wrinkle, and then we'll wrap up the show with small talk. You've already heard his name, but I am joined, as always, by one of the hardest working men in radio, the Honorable King George Costco George. He definitely doesn't have another nickname. You can find him on Twitter at KingGeorge94, George Ruggiero. George, where are you going to be tonight?
Tonight, I am over, actually, in your stomping grounds, over at Hampline Brewing, playing a little bit of music bingo. Hopefully, this weather holds out for us. You guys can go hang out on the patio. It's nice and cool as long as it's not raining. Patio is awesome. Going over there, great beer, great, great pizza. And me, you'll get to hang out with me, play some music bingo. A lot easier than trivia. I will tell you that much, both for me and for you, the players.
Speaking of Cerrito trivia, I forgot to mention one of the names in the family tree of not only 929 but Cerrito trivia yesterday. Anthony Saint. I got to make sure I give Saint his credit as well. He's around. He's doing trivia. I didn't mention him yesterday. That's my bad, Saint. That's my bad.
So Anthony was, as I was essentially getting trained for music bingo, he was holding it down there at 10th inning. The people loved him. But, you know, it's been a little while. He might have to come back and play.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, he's very busy. He's always hosting.
He is one of the busiest men in the city of Memphis. The man is 100%. A grinder. Everything he's got, he's absolutely earned. So shout out to my guy, Anthony Sane. But we've got to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and their summer league game last night. We can be completely honest about it. There was nothing exciting about this basketball game whatsoever outside of one thing for me.
How clocked in for this were you?
Well, I'm hosting a sports radio show in the city of Memphis this week, so I felt like it was my duty to watch this game. Was I completely locked in and breaking down every single sequence? No. I was watching the game. I was doing some work on the side, but I was paying attention to it. And the two things that really jump out to you are, one, man, when the other guys aren't playing and the rookies that you want to see aren't playing, it can get rough really quick in a summer league game. The Grizzlies did have some exciting things happen in last night's game, though. The first one that we must mention, it would be unfair for us to not mention this. Tyler Burton had an awesome game last night. 7 of 12, 5 of 7 from 3, finished with 23 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, was extremely active. He was cooking. A bright spot. He was cooking, absolutely, especially in that first quarter. He came out firing, playing for his NBA life. So shout out to Tyler Burton. It was a fun moment from him. But the Grizzlies, of course, they were sitting Armando Bacot. They were sitting Jalen Wells, G.G. Jackson. Cedric Howard wasn't playing. Of course, Javon Small is still out with an injury. Zion Poland didn't play. Cam Spencer didn't play. So that really left one guy on the Memphis Grizzlies that I was interested in watching play. And that was Meshack. And luckily, last night, after we talked about him with Parker Fleming, he gave us a good performance. He gave us another performance that showed flashes of what he may be able to bring to the Memphis Grizzlies and to the hustle on a two-way contract, because that's where we think he's going to go. And so far, through two games in the summer league, I think that a two-way contract for Meshack absolutely makes sense, especially with some of just some of the potential he has shown. He finished last night with 13 points, 4-9 from the field, 3-4 from three. Three steals, and that's what I like to see from Meshack. I think last night, Bennett Doyle said this over on Grind City Media,
and
I think that this is true. He hit more threes last night in the summer league game for the Grizzlies than he ever hit in a single game for the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, I'm going to talk to David Cobb about it a little bit later at 5 o'clock. I think one of the reasons he has more opportunity here is that he had a couple of guys in front of him at Tennessee that were there for offense. His main job at Tennessee was to be a defensive stopper, and that is what he did. He showed the ability to knock down threes. I think he was 35% on catch-and-shoot threes at Tennessee. So he has the ability to knock down a three. He just didn't have the volume. He didn't really have the opportunity to do that. So I'm glad that so far during the summer league, he is taking the opportunity to take these threes. And, you know, talking with Parker Fleming yesterday, and we text back and forth because we're absolute basketball sickos, we were trying to figure out what player Meshack kind of reminds us of. What should his archetype be if he wants to be successful in the NBA? And I saw this was a topic of conversation last night during the game. Some people were throwing out Lou Dort.
That's my initial thought, but I think it might be legitimately like size and body shape and like physical attributes.
Well, so Lou Dort is 6'4". Meshack is 6'4". Meshack is 197 pounds.
He's got a little weight.
Lou Dort is like 220 pounds, all right?
Yeah.
Like, Lou Dort is built like a linebacker. Meshack isn't built like that.
No.
So I think that Lou Dort is also, as dirty as he may be, and we all hate him because of what he did to Ja Morant.
Of course.
It was a dirty play. We don't have to relitigate that right now. I think it would be unfair to be like, Meshack's, he's Lou Dort.
No.
Like, after two summer league games.
Oh, of course
we don't need
not.
To do that.
No. My other thing with the actual, could it also be like give Meshack a couple years, NBA weight room, NBA nutrition?
Maybe so. You know, that is fair. The player though, that
I'm curious, because my initial thought, even when they drafted him, like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Play style, you know, just point of attack defender, similar frame type thing. But I'm curious who you guys pulled out.
The player that I'll give the one that Parker gave me first, and their path would be very similar. The person that he pointed out, and again, this is now one of the premier defenders in the NBA. He's one of the best bench guys you could possibly have. He is an NBA champion now. He threw out Alex Caruso because their measurements are very similar.
Yeah.
And the way that they came out of college is similar. A perimeter defender who has shot potential. And that's why he brought up Alex Caruso. The person that I brought up was someone who is 6'3", 6'4". Meshack has a 6'7", 6'8", wingspan. This player is 6'7", 6'8", wingspan. Meshack is 197 pounds. This player is 200 pounds. He's one of my favorite Memphis Grizzlies of all time. He came out of college. He had three-point shooting potential, but he didn't have the opportunity as much in college to show it. He was a really good perimeter defender when he came out of college. The idea of him was he can be a very good perimeter defender that might be able to knock down a three every once in a while and has some playmaking ability. De'Anthony Melton. De'Anthony Melton is the player, when I watch Mayshak right now in Summer League, that he reminds me of.
I like that.
I think the measurements fit. I think the style of play fit. So when I'm watching Mayshak so far in his first two Summer League games, I'm thinking, could this guy develop into a De'Anthony Melton type of player? And the reason I think that we should start at a guy like Melton, that seems like a doable thing for a young basketball player to achieve. Coming out the gate and comparing him to someone like Alex Caruso or someone like Lu Dort or a premier defender in the NBA is probably being a little bit too hype about a guy after two Summer League performances. So I was trying to think to myself,
who is
somebody that I can be realistic about? The archetype of guy he could be. And that was De'Anthony Melton. Everybody knows how much I love De'Anthony Melton. I built Melton Island when he was here. It absolutely broke my heart when they had to move off of him. I have been a proponent this offseason, if the opportunity was there, it doesn't seem like it is anymore, that you could bring him back. You could bring Melton back because he shouldn't be that expensive, but it seems like he might have a reunion with the Golden State Warriors, who are also looking at Al Horford, two very good veteran pickups for them if they are able to do that. But when I've been watching Mayshak, I've been excited about him because he is showing flashes of things that I wasn't fully sure he was able to do. And Melton, early in his career, was doing something very similar. He showed this three-point shooting ability, which, you know, in college, Melton only shot 28% from three. So the idea of him was never to be a shooter. But when he came in and he got more opportunity, he started showing that a little bit more. So just through the first two games, I want to say if Mayshak is going to develop, and he should get that two-way spot. There's no doubt about it in my mind now. Like, it should be Small and Mayshak and then go find a big in that third spot. We've already litigated it. Zion Pullen, sorry, dude. There's no real reason for them to keep him around anymore. It is sad because he had that big injury last season, and that's one of the main reasons he probably is underperforming. Baycott, I think, has gotten some opportunity, but he hasn't really taken the baton and run with it. I'm going to be honest. I don't really understand why he sat last night. Of all of the guys that need to be playing and need to be proving themselves right now, it feels like Baycott is one of those, but
could it be the minutes off? Because remember, it was a back-to-back.
Maybe. It's. I think that the Grizzlies have this trend in Summer League to sit guys in the final game of Salt Lake City so that they can be ready for Vegas. And that's the idea of it. That's exactly what they were doing. I understand it. It's just when you're looking for a big to fill that two-way spot and you have one on your roster that may be able to do that but hasn't really proven it yet in the Summer League, it feels like that was the type of game where he may have been able to show something a little bit more. But ultimately, they decided to sit him. So last night, though, Mayshak, I thought he was impressive again. Very good perimeter defense. He was moving the ball well. He didn't have a high assist number. He did turn the ball over a little bit more. But what I did notice, he got those fouls down a little bit more. The fouls overall just also weren't absolutely insane. We didn't have 77 foul calls, which just never needs to happen in an NBA game, an NBA Summer League game. Let these guys play. Like, they're going to be fighting a little bit more. They may be more physical. They're literally fighting for their NBA lives. Give them a little bit more of a whistle.
Give them some
grace. We're not there to watch the NBA referees, especially the ones during Summer League. So,
especially the ones wearing triple digits.
You know, Mayshak, I like him a lot. I'm trying to keep my expectations of him tempered. He is going to be a two-way guy. He was somebody that was quite literally the final pick in the NBA draft. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be a rotation guy ever in the NBA, but I think that he is showing flashes of potential so far in the Summer League, and especially things that we weren't necessarily sure he was able to do. That three-point shot looked good. It was quick. He was decisive. He's playing with confidence. And his perimeter defense is for real. So if he could try to develop into something like a De'Anthony Melton or an Alex Caruso over the next few seasons, that could be an exciting thing for the Grizzlies. So we shall see what Mayshak could potentially become.
I'm trying to, because at the same time as we're doing this, I'm thinking those are good comps. For me, Caruso might be a little bit too much on the offensive end.
It feels too much, yeah.
Because
Caruso's very, people don't, Caruso
He can also create his own shot.
Well, Caruso's job in OKC, and when he was with the Lakers and when he was with the Bulls, is defense first. But he also showed times during this past playoffs with the Thunder. If you need a bucket,
30-point games.
That dude's going to go get a bucket. So that's why I when I was trying to do this exercise.
I think I found someone that I kind of like as well.
Throw him out.
DeLon Wright. Longtime NBA guy. Played a long career. Similar frame. A little bit leaner, but maybe a little taller. Good defender. Has always been a good defender. That's how he stuck around in the league as long as he has. 35-36% shooter from three over his career. I mean, again, we're trying to temper expectations. I mean, this guy's been in the league since he's had a decade-long career.
Former Memphis Grizzly.
Of course. And we're talking about, again, we're talking about the 59th overall pick. We're talking about Mr. Irrelevant here. And obviously that's just the name of the game. That's no disrespect. But if you can take a guy who was picked 59th and have a decade-long NBA career and be pretty darn good at what you do to the point to where teams just seem to pick you up whenever they're like, man, we could really use a guy. We could certainly use a body, someone that we can reliably put into game situation and not have to worry too much about it. I don't think that's a bad comp at all. I do like the Melt comp. I think that's awesome.
I don't hate the DeLon Wright one. I think that DeLon Wright probably had more potential offensively coming out. He was a better playmaker, but he is known as a pesky defender who gets a lot of deflections. Like, the thing about DeLon Wright is
always in the lanes.
He always is in the lanes. He has good steal numbers when you look at his per 36, his per 100. His defensive rating has always been pretty solid over his career. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, Mayshak, he may just be a guy who sticks on teams and is a defensive specialist who might be able to knock down a shot every once in a while.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
By no means.
But I do think that it is exciting that so far through two summer league games, he has looked like one of the better players out there on the floor. One of those games was with, you know, to be honest, a lot of the Utah Jazz rotation guys and the Grizzlies players who you are excited about. He looked good with them. And then when they weren't out there, he was able to assert himself a little bit more, and we saw a little bit of a three-point shot. So Mayshak is something to keep an eye on. He's been an exciting bright spot for the Grizzlies. Javon Small, hopefully we get to see him a little bit more. I'm still not sure if we're going to see Cedric Coward. It seems doubtful that we are ever going to see him during the summer league, which, you know, is disappointing, and I understand why it may be disappointing and why some people may be a little bit nervous about the Grizzlies taking somebody like Coward, who already has an injury. And as we know with the Memphis Grizzlies, what is the biggest thing of the last few seasons? Injuries. And that's where, you know, that leads me to, I just want to do a state of the Grizzlies conversation, because earlier today, part of my duties here at 929 and Odyssey Memphis is we have clients come in and they record spots every once in a while. And this morning I had Pastor Paul from Christ Church come in. And he was just asking me questions about the Memphis Grizzlies from a fan perspective, what he should be expecting from the Grizzlies this season and where they are. And he asked me to kind of break it down because there's a lot of things going on. Like, you just had the Jay Huff trade, Jock Landale's coming in. You've
got
these three rookies that may be something, but you don't really know yet. Ty Jerome's coming in. Jaren Jackson Jr. just got his extension. Santi Aldama just got his extension. Desmond Bain got traded. The Grizzlies have had a very busy offseason. There's been a lot to talk about. So, what should the expectation be for this team next season? And in my opinion, this team still has a lot of talent. That being said, I think a lot of the talent remains pretty raw. You've got GG Jackson, who during summer league so far is showing signs of being able to make maybe a leap next year, especially defensively. That's where you need to see it, because I said it yesterday, I've been saying it all week. Gigi's offense is going to get him on the court. It's going to give him opportunity, and it should, because when he doesn't have any extra movement, when he's not dribbling too much, when he's playing within an offense and he's attacking the basket, getting downhill, he is extremely effective. We already know he's got a three-point shot. Can he put a full offensive game together? We're seeing flashes of that. As Parker said yesterday, you don't need Gigi to be a playmaker. You need him to be an efficient scorer. That's what you need Gigi Jackson to be able to do. You also need Gigi to be a rebounder and a serviceable defender. He doesn't have to be a plus defender, just be a serviceable one. Don't lose your minutes when you're out there, because you're going to be playing bench guys for the most part. He's showing that he may have the ability to do that this year. Offense will get him on the court. Defense will keep him on the court. So I'm hoping to see that. Jalen Wells coming off of a brutal injury, but an excellent rookie season. You can't really ask more from a rookie. The conversation around him this week has been a bit odd from Grizzlies fans, but I think it's because we're all probably a little bit bored because it's the summertime and we don't have too many transactions to talk about outside of Jay Huff and Ty Jerome. But Jalen Wells, your hope is that he makes a bit of a leap. You want him to not have a sophomore slump. We can be honest about it. At the end of his rookie season, he had a bit of a slump, but he hit that rookie wall. So you're hoping that in his sophomore year, he is able to break through that wall and return to being around 38% from three and the perimeter defender that we saw him be all season. The good news about Jalen Wells, the shot went away for a little bit, but the aggressiveness, the confidence, and the defensive ability didn't go away toward the end of the season. So that's good news. So you're hoping that he makes a leap. Cedric Howard, you know, really exciting numbers when you look at it in college. 72% from two over 4 years of D1 basketball is exciting. 40% from three, that's exciting. But when you really look at it, you got to be honest about the level of competition he was playing. He really only got 6 games against real competition. So even though he is exciting and he seems to have all the tools and he is answering all the questions the way that you want him to answer them, he has the measurements, which are phenomenal. We've gone over the list of guys that he is with 1,000 times. That's a great list to be on. There's not a single player on that list that isn't a good NBA player that has the measurements of Cedric Howard. I am very hopeful that he can turn into something for the Grizzlies and a rotation guy, if not a starter in the future for them. I think he is a very exciting young player, and if you are excited about him, I think you should be. I think that we're going to see very good things from Cedric Howard during his rookie season. But that's another young talent that we don't necessarily know what it is yet. Vince Williams Jr., is he going to make a bounce back? Is he going to show what he did 2 years ago? Or is that injury bug going to just stay around him? That's the big thing with Vince. As much as I love him, he's got to stay on the court. He's got to stay on the court. Zach Edey, is he going to come back from injury and have a down season? Or is he going to be able to bounce back and look like he did at the end of the year in T.I.'s system? Because we know that it helps Zach Edey thrive a little bit more. And then that gets you to John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Santi Aldama, Brandon Clark. You know what you're going to get out of these four guys when they're healthy. Are they going to be healthy? We shall see. If Ja can play 60 to 65 games, I think the Grizzlies are going to be a playoff team, probably toward the bottom end of the Western Conference. But at the end of the day, they have the talent to maybe be a top six seed, but it would probably be six. I still think they'd be a play-in team, but a lot of it's going to come down to, do these young players make a leap? Are the Grizzlies going to be healthy? And if all of those things are true, they'll have a successful season. But what does success look like for the Grizzlies next year? It doesn't look like a Western Conference Finals appearance. It doesn't look like an NBA championship. When you look at the West right now, there are teams that are simply better than you. And yes, we can have conversations about the Grizzlies decided to get young again. They moved off to Desmond Bane. They're not going all in yet with John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And I understand why some people are extremely frustrated by this idea, because they believe you have these two guys right now. You need to go all in. Try to attack right now because you're wasting the years. While I understand that line of thinking, I don't necessarily agree with it, because as much as we love Ja and we love Jaren, they haven't proven they can stay on the court for long periods of time together. I think that Jaren Jackson Jr. early in his career got a rap for being injury prone, but in recent years, he's been a bit of an iron man. That being said, he is out with the toe injury right now, but he should be back early in the season, shouldn't miss too much time. Ja's really the one. Can he stay healthy for a season? So success for the Grizzlies this year, in my opinion, looks like this. The young players make a leap. They take a step forward. Cedric Howard shows he might be able to be something. Meshack and Small show they can be effective as two-way guys. Maybe they compete to be on the Grizzlies roster for next season. Cam Spencer's a good end-of-the-bench player. Ty Jerome continues what he did last year in Cleveland with the Memphis Grizzlies. He's an absolute microwave for you off of the bench. Scottie Pippen Jr. continues to be a defensive specialist for you who can knock down threes. Ja Morant plays 65 games in the season. That's success. That's what the Grizzlies need. Jaren Jackson Jr. continues the growth that he has shown the last few seasons. Brandon Clark stays healthy for a year. That's got to happen too. Zach Edey learns how to really dominate the paint. That needs to happen. The turnovers, the quick decision-making, continuing the rebounding that he's been doing. But I need to see a little bit more of a scoring ability from Zach Edey this season. That's what you hope to see from him. So unfortunately for the Grizzlies this year, success isn't the Western Conference Finals. It's not the NBA championship because they're just not ready to do that yet. The Houston Rockets got better, adding Kevin Durant. The Denver Nuggets got a lot better this offseason, especially with their acquisition of Cam Johnson, which, by the way, I need to be very clear about this. Cam Johnson's better than Michael Porter Jr., and anybody that's trying to act like they're the same player needs to kick rocks. Michael Porter Jr. is one of the dumbest players in the NBA. Very effective three-point shooter when he's playing with Nikola Jokic. Shot 30% from three without Jokic on the floor. Dumb basketball player, though. Always in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Terrible defender. Cam Johnson is the better version of Michael Porter Jr. Stop trying to pretend like they were the same player. It's driving me crazy. It's been driving me insane.
Even just hearing you explain
it's
this.
It's nuts. It's just absolute insanity.
That's a different corner
so
of the
Denver
internet
got
than
better.
I'm on.
Timberwolves, you know, they're going to be there. The Thunder, going to be the exact same team that just won the NBA championship.
With Nikola Topic as well.
With are we expecting a big Topic year?
I don't think we're expecting it, but now they have another, you know, 6'6" defending point guard who can pick you up 94 feet and can shoot the heck out of the ball. So
those
you know.
teams, I think, are absolutely ahead of you. But that's why I said that this Grizzlies team, if everything goes right, could probably compete 5, 6, 7 in that range. But at worst, I think they'll be a play-in team. Success for the Grizzlies is improvement next year. And again, I know that's frustrating because people have said, well, Zach Kleiman hasn't made that big fish. They haven't gone all in. Look at the teams around you. They're getting better and they're leaving you behind. The Thunder passed you. The Rockets passed you. All these teams have passed you. I get it. I understand those conversations. But you have to be realistic about this team. You can't go all in unless you know your superstar player can play 65 games and make it through the playoffs. Because as much as we love them, it hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened once. That has to happen before you go all in. So a successful season to me for the Grizzlies is young players make improvements. Ja Morant stays healthy and has a great season. Jaren Jackson Jr. stays healthy and has a great season. They compete for a playoff spot. Maybe win a round, a couple of games at least. And the first round would be great. T.I., his system works. He implements more pick and roll while also allowing some of the free-flowing offense to continue.
We've seen that in summer league.
That is what success looks like for the Grizzlies. And again, I know that some people out there are probably yelling at me saying, how can you be complacent with this? And I don't think it's complacency. It's being realistic about this team and what's on the roster. The Grizzlies looked at the rest of the NBA, and they looked at the Western Conference specifically and said, are we ready to compete right now? And they weren't. We can try to trick ourselves all day about Desmond Bain, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Well, when all three of them, this is something that I said, when all three of them play, the Grizzlies win basketball games. That was true. But all three of them don't play, y'all. They don't. All three of them don't play. It was so rare when you would see the three of them on the court at the same time. When they were, guess what? You won basketball games. But it was so few and far between. So what do? You step back and you say, how can we maximize this roster and the talent that we have now? And I think step one is making sure you can stay healthy. It is step number one for the Grizzlies. The biggest thing for success next season for the Grizzlies is staying healthy and then seeing these young guys improve. That is going to lead to wins in the future. That will lead to competing in the future. That will lead to the opportunity to truly compete and go in for that all-in type of move. That's the path forward for the Grizzlies.
And I know we need to get to break, but one thing that I want to add to this conversation 100%, I don't think we actually put enough stock or enough value on how important at times it is to just be good.
Yeah.
Because you never know how things are going to break. You never know what happens if you're in one of these playoff bubble positions. You get in through the play-in, you're a lower seed than you thought, or a lower seed than you wanted to be, and then things break your way.
Well,
you never know how far that can get you.
Literally break your way. They could literally break your way. Just a few seasons ago, the Hawks stayed competitive, got into the playoffs,
yeah,
snuck into the Eastern Conference Finals. Should they have been there? No. But they got there. So that's why I'm saying that I believe the ceiling for this team is probably at most a second-round appearance. But, like George just brought up, in the NBA, you never know who's going to be healthy and who's not. And let's say
or if these moves even work out for these other teams. There is value in being there.
I think most of them for the Western Conference teams are going to work. With the ones that we brought up, it would be kind of shocking if these teams weren't any better. But
it's happened plenty of times before.
You can't predict health. You just can't. You can't predict health. So they might catch a break here or there. But I think that being realistic about this Grizzlies team, and to be honest, finding joy in that again. Because 2022 was a joyful season. It ended in a way that we didn't want it to. But at the end of the day, all of the regular season games, that series against the Timberwolves was joyful. The players were playing with joy. The fans had joy. We got to bring that back. If the Grizzlies can recapture that, if they can recapture the love for the game, you see the players having fun. You see the relationship between them and Tomas Isolo working. That's the way forward. That should be one of the goals of this season. And I get it. Some fans out there are championship or bust. If you're not competing for a championship, you suck and everybody should be fired. I just fundamentally disagree with that mindset when it comes to sports. So my goal next year is going to try to find joy watching this team again, and I hope the team finds joy playing basketball. These young guys make a leap. Ja can stay healthy. Jaren can stay healthy. Maybe get a couple all-star games. And if they can win a first-round series, that would be fantastic. I understand why that should be the expectation. I get it. You don't want to take a full leap back. I think missing the playoffs would be a failure. This team is still good enough to be a playoff team. They should be competing for a 6th seed or a 7th seed. They shouldn't be at the bottom of the Western Conference. That's my hope for next year. I think that's a realistic outlook on this team. Coming up next, though, I'll ask Gabe Kuhn all of this and see what he has to say. He also wants to talk about Jay Huff, Jock Landale, the Grizzlies Summer League. He's been out for a few days. So the big man himself is going to join us live in studio when we come back. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. I'm the captain now. Very good musical choice.
Damn.
Bye.
That's why y'all are laughing.
Of course it is. Did you not ever say that? Gabe was saying, okay, real quick, behind the curtain. So George decides to play
Who y'all laughing at?
He decides to play Who Run It. And immediately, George and I start laughing. And Gabe's just staring at us confused. And I don't, brother.
It's been a long travel. I was up at 5 a.m. I just got back about 30 minutes ago. It's been a long day.
Welcome back into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning. I'm filling in for Gabe. Today's the final day. He'll be back tomorrow doing the whole show. But now I am joined by the man himself, Gabe Kuhn. You can find him on Twitter at G_Kuhn71. He is a former Memphis offensive lineman. Some may argue it's more valuable than a former Memphis videographer, but who's to say? Gabe, just walk us through the Southwest hell that you've had the last 24 hours.
Okay, can we start
hours.
With positives so I don't, like, blow a gasket while I'm in here?
Sure.
Or a gasket, whatever the hell you call it. Again, long day. Positives. San Diego was great. Beautiful weather. I caught, like, I mean, Chamber of Commerce. Well, it was
great.
Wait.
San Diego's a beautiful place?
Well, listen, no, but the week before
Breaking
I got
news.
There, it was overcast. When I got there, 5 days, not a cloud in the sky. Just absolutely gorgeous. So there's that. Went to Torrey Pines, played Torrey Pines.
I was
broke 100. That's great work for me.
Big time.
That's fantastic work for me, breaking 100 at Torrey Pines. We got Myers, my son, he got his first In-N-Out experience. It was really like a little piece of burger. And then an In-N-Out hat.
Full burger.
Threw the In-N-Out hat on him. He could probably put down a full burger. He is my
you're
child,
getting him
by
ready
the way.
To be that offensive lineman for Memphis.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So there was that. We had a bunch of, tacos on the street. So that was phenomenal. But it was a good trip. The planning by Southwest, no. That was pretty horrible. Before I left, David Cobb was on the show. And he's like, if you have any pointers you can give me, because he hasn't taken Rosie, his daughter, who's born around the same time as Myers, hasn't taken her on a flight yet. He's like, you have any pointers after that trip? Give them to me. I can't give him pointers because it was hell on both ways, going both ways, there and back, going there. We had a 1 p.m. flight supposed to connect through Houston. If you know anything about Thursday in the Texas sort of Dallas, Houston, whatever it is, rest in peace to all of the people that have passed. But they had terrible flooding and one of the worst rainstorms, thunderstorms they've had in ever,
right,
quite frankly. So we were supposed to connect through Houston. We get on the flight. We get out on the runway. We taxi for 40 minutes. And they say, okay, we have to turn around and go back into the gate. So we go back into the gate, wait there for an hour, get back on the flight, taxi for another 40 minutes. Then we take off. Now, I, in that time, was like, okay, am I going to make my connecting flight when we actually get to Houston?
No.
Are we going to be able to go from Houston to San Diego? Talk to the gate agent. She said, yeah. It was no fly. Everybody was on the ground. So inevitably, get about an hour into our first flight, and here comes the buzz from Southwest telling us that we've been rerouted. So now we have to fly from Houston to Dallas and Dallas to San Diego. And it's only like a 15-minute layover from Houston to Dallas. Or from Dallas, you know, when we land in Dallas. So all said and done, my first fly day with my 7-month-old and my wife, 13 hours all said and done.
God.
Three airports, 13 hours.
That is absolutely brutal.
And then on the way back, this is why I was not here yesterday, Southwest decided to reroute me because they had another delay going through Houston. Although that flight ended up being on time, they tried to give me a 4 o'clock through Denver. That one got delayed. On the way to the San Diego airport, we're sitting in about 15-minute drive, 7 minutes into the drive, we get the buzz from Southwest saying, okay, your flight's been delayed. So I was like, okay, are we going to be able to connect through Denver? It was like a 30-minute layover at that time. They delayed it to the point where it was a negative 38-minute layover, and there was no flights going out of Denver to Memphis after that. So Southwest just gave us the runaround. I have spent far too much of my life on the phone with an operator at Southwest these past 5 days. It's been ridiculous.
That sounds awful.
Yes.
Do you know who else was having to catch a flight this weekend? That'd be Jay Huff. Because Jay Huff was traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Indiana Pacers. And today when I was talking to Gabe and I said, what do you want to talk about? He sent back one text, and it said Jay Huff. So I need to know your take on Jay Huff now being an Indiana Pacer for a second-round pick and a second-round pick swap, and then the Grizzlies signing Jock Landale to fill that backup center role, and I suppose the starting center role until Zach Edey can come back and be healthy.
So salute to Jay Huff. That's the first thing I have to say, man. Like, when you talk about like guys that they've sort of given some run to the past couple of years, he was pretty reliable, especially at the beginning of the season. I mean, this was a guy who had multiple 20-point games. The reverse dunk became sort of iconic when you go to FedEx Forum. He played 64 games. Now, did I think it was kind of strange that they offloaded him right now when they have the center position and they don't really have a whole bunch of bigs and Edie's going to be out and maybe Jaren's going to be out? I thought that was a little strange. But after the signing of Jock Landale, I think Jock Landale just brings that experience, especially in a starting role, that Jay Huff was never going to have. He rebounds better. He sets screens better.
It's the pick and roll.
He's top 75% and 75th percentile in offensive rebounding. So he does a lot of really good things for you. And I guess Jay Huff at that point became expendable. And I did one of the funny things that I was just looking at, like through the second-round pick and the second-round pick swap. You remember, and I didn't talk about this because I don't like getting into like the Twitter nonsense, the replies. The Cedric Coward trade, they gave up how many second-round picks?
Two.
It was 2 second-round picks. Do you see how easy it is to get them back? They got back 1 second-round pick for a guy that they gave some minimum contract to in Jay Huff. Guy that's kicked around the G League for years. So that you can recover those and recoup those quickly. But I thought the timing was strange, but Jock Landale clearly made him expendable. And there it is. I think, you know, looking at the Pacers roster, no Miles Turner anymore. We'll see what Jay Huff can do. We'll see how he can fit in there. But for the Grizzlies, I think it is what it is. Jock Landale's a better answer for the time being than Jay Huff was ever going to be.
I think he fits the system better. Like, the Pacers play with more pace and space, and that's what Jay Huff will thrive in. And the Grizzlies are going to try to implement more pick and roll, and they needed a center who's going to get boards and defend the rim. And as much as we love Jay Huff, he was known for his dunks and shooting threes. He wasn't necessarily known for his defense and screen setting. And that's what the Grizzlies needed. So I think it was a very good trade for both parties because the Pacers are going to try to recreate Miles Turner in a way with Jay Huff and other guys.
You're not quite, but I get what you mean.
But it's the idea of the
stretch big.
The stretch big that can knock down a three. That's what they're going to try to do with somebody like Jay Huff. And then the Grizzlies just found somebody that fits the system they want to run a little bit better. And we've been joking that, you know, he's Australian.
Yes.
Steven Adams was from New Zealand. Sure. They're trying to, like, he's got the accent. He's a seven-footer. And Matt, they are trying to recreate Steven Adams with the few guys as well.
What's nice, too, about Jock Landale, when Zach Edey comes back, that's a hell of a reserve five, man. It really is.
I also think
that's
this
a
is
good for the rest of the season once Zach Edey sort of reclaims his spot.
Right.
I like that a lot. And Jock Landale, for those that like are not fully familiar, because he didn't get a whole bunch of run, he's never gotten a whole bunch of run in his career, although he did play his role with the Rockets and the Suns before that. So, like, some people have seen him. I mean, he does have a lot at his disposal as a five. Like, he can rebound at a high level. He sets screens really well. He can roll. He can be a lob threat if you want him to be. He's got a little floater in the lane. And he also is a really, for the amount of minutes he gets, he's a good rim protector. There was a game early in 2024, or no, it would have been later in 2024, so like at the start of this past season. He had 7 blocks in less than 20 minutes. I think he set like the franchise record for the Houston Rockets when it came to blocks when you had less than 20 minutes of playing time. But he had 7 in less than 20 minutes. So he's got a lot that I think I like for the Grizzlies going into next season.
Yeah, and it's nothing to do backflips over or to freak out about, but it is an improvement, I think, within the system of the Memphis Grizzlies. So it makes a lot of sense for them. He was able to give the Rockets spot starter minutes when Steven Adams wasn't playing, and he was a positive basketball player. When you look at his metrics, all of them are positive. So just, I viewed it as just good GMing.
Yeah.
You got assets back for a guy like Jay Huff, and you're able to turn around and find a center that fits your system. And one thing that I talked to Parker about yesterday that I do think is important, Edie and Jock will play similar styles of basketball. You're not going to have some huge adjustment now when your backup center comes in and all of a sudden he's a stretch five. They're going to play in very similar fashions. Correct. Even the way they shoot three-point shots. Like Zach Edey, he's known to step out every once in a while. Jock, he'll step out every once in a while. It was, 42% is exciting when you look at it. When you look at the volume, though, you're like, oh, okay, there's not many, but he's got the ability to do it.
It's just, it's better not to have to flip-flop when you go from starters to bench unit.
Right.
And if you had Jay Huff sort of taking those minutes, you just don't feel as comfortable because he's not much of a rebounder, not an unbelievable screen setter. He's good. I guess he's good on defense when it comes to rim protection. But outside of that, I know he's a defensive player of the year in the G League, but it didn't really ever look like that at the NBA level. But I thought it was a fine move. I thought it was a fine move. And by the way, shout out to Parker Fleming, who you had in studio yesterday.
Yeah, he was the whole second hour.
He called out Jock Landale.
Oh wait, yeah,
like to Memphis
way before it happened.
I mean, I think he said it before the Rockets declined.
It was. So he did it.
Declined to pay him and ended up releasing him.
When they extended Steven Adams and they brought on Clint Capella, he tweeted out, there's not enough room for Jock and the Grizzlies need to look at him when he eventually becomes a free agent. And that's exactly what happened.
And he became a free agent in about a day. Here's the Grizzlies picking up the phone. So shout out to Parker.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
Turns out Parker Fleming's a smart guy. One more time, I'm gonna plug it because it's important. Substack Elitist, go subscribe to his Substack. Go to Paca_Flocka on Twitter. It will take you right to the link. All of the proceeds, and I mean all of it. Yep. He doesn't pocket a single dime. All of it goes to St. Jude. So make sure you're going to subscribe to that. It helps out one of our favorite causes here in the city of Memphis. And to be honest, he's gonna make you sound smarter. He's one of the best basketball minds that we have. When he talks about the NBA draft, you need to listen. When he talks about the Grizzlies, you need to listen. He's one of the smartest guys. He's the only person that I remember that predicted the Pacers run that they made in the playoffs. It was, I think, like a month before the playoffs
even started.
And now he
likes the Hawks, so I'm a little worried what's going to happen in Atlanta.
The Hawks have had a great offseason. The Hawks have had a great offseason. The Eastern Conference is going to be fascinating next year.
What did you think of the NBA Cup groupings?
We're going to talk about that in the Blitz, but it's I mean, the Grizzlies,
they just
not bad.
Minus the Warriors and the Nuggets and add the L.A. teams from last year. That's the difference.
It's not the,
you still have the Pelicans and the Mavs. Mavs are going to be improved in all likelihood.
It's not
they won't
the,
have Kyrie by then, though, so you'll be no. okay there. You're going to be, you know, seeing what Cooper Flagg has at that point.
It's just, it's not the death group it was last year.
It's still one of the hardest groups in the NBA, though. It really is. There's some other ones that have stepped up. The Eastern Conference, there's, let me go
check
this out.
The hardest one, the Group C in the West is insane. That's Houston, Denver, Golden State, Portland, and San Antonio. That's the death
group.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
That group
absolutely.
Is.
Because Portland's better than what you think they are.
Portland is. And then, and San Antonio's doing that thing where they want to win basketball games, but they don't want to win too many basketball games. So it's going to be interesting to see what their strategy is.
I was looking at East Group B. That could be kind
Boston,
of tricky.
Detroit,
the only like complete bottomed out team is probably the Nets. But you have Celtics, Pistons, Magic improve with Bane. And then the 76ers back at somewhat
no
some
idea.
Health.
Right.
Some
and,
health.
And VJ looks.
And VJ Edgecombe. Who
real
looks,
good.
God, he's so athletic.
Yeah.
That's what blows me away. He is so athletic.
And he was talking mad ass, which we love. Speaking of Summer League, yeah. I want to ask you about some of the Grizzlies guys. Okay. Have you been able to pay attention?
I watched just about Gigi hit that three, by the way, just so we're clear.
Yes, it was a three.
But honestly, there was seven. Was it 70? That was a 77 foul call game, right?
Yes.
So just end the damn thing. I was fine with it.
It was one of those.
But to me, they didn't have an angle. They called it a two, keep it a two, but it was probably a three.
Well,
if you really like had the angle to go check that out, if we had the normal NBA regular season ESPN NBC now, we would have seen that his foot was behind.
Yeah, where was the LeBron Timberwolves angle
right,
for us?
Yeah,
but no, and we were joking yesterday. They filmed it through a 1994 camcorder. the Game Boy that I carry around with me would have given us better quality than whatever cameras they were using.
That's what they have in Utah, man.
It was one of those. It was one of those moments where the Grizzlies got hosed. I also didn't care.
Mayshak fouled out with 10 fouls. I was like,
I love him.
I love him. And this is the way I'll put it with him. I'm not going to put any expectations on the guy, quite frankly, because he's a second round guy. I heard what you said. You're trying to find like a realistic, like, if he can get to this,
yeah.
Hell yeah. If he can get to the Anthony Melton, I heard you
that'd
say
be great.
That. Lou Dort, oh my God. What do people kill? Relax.
Everybody
and
take
Alex Caruso,
a step back.
Relax.
I also saw
let's
Tony
chill
Allen.
Out.
Everybody relax.
Let's chill out.
Go grab a bottle of Old Dom. Take a sip.
Yes.
Even though it might make you say some crazier stuff. But,
yes.
You know.
Yes, but they do have award-winning bottles of their bourbon and whiskey, though.
You're damn right they
out.
Do.
305 South Front Street, where you can find them. But... when it comes to like a defensive ace, a guy that you just want to be like that pesky
bulldog,
mean bulldog of a perimeter defender, I personally, especially in summer league, don't care how good it looks. I want to see if he's got some psychopath in him. And that first game showed me psychopathic tendencies. 10 fouls.
Insane.
But he also got his stats. He had a bunch of blocks, steals.
Nine assists.
Looked good. But the 10 fouls, it just showed like he's willing to play with physicality. He doesn't really care.
Yeah.
He knows what his role is going to be, and he's going to get after it. And then, last night, improved. Very much improved. 3 fouls, 13 points, got more run with all the other guys on the bench. I like how he looked.
Have you heard
sure.
the stat that he hit more threes last night than he did in a single game?
That's insane for
Tennessee.
He did say though after he got drafted, like I feel like I didn't get to show anything.
It wasn't his role, and like I'm gonna talk to
he
Cobb
was 3-4 from three though.
It
like,
was
he
just
good.
It
looked like
it's
it was
not
there.
That he was 35% catch and shoot threes in college. He just didn't have to take them. He was there to play defense for Tennessee, and that's what he did when he got picked up by the Grizzlies. People who cover the draft for a living were like, that might be the best perimeter defender
right.
in college basketball. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what he could potentially be. I do want to ask you about, you know, Cam Spencer, Jalen
sure.
Wells, and Gigi Jackson very quickly. You mentioned lunatics. Cam Spencer
looks
like a lunatic. I'm happy he's fully guaranteed. That dude plays with confidence, and he plays smooth. And when he shoots, I expect it to go in.
He's a lunatic that plays within himself, though. That's
yeah.
that's what kind of strikes me. Again, it's all summer league, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But we did see him play well last year. I
yeah.
remember the Heat game played well.
Yeah.
Very
that's
well.
The game
he elbowed the hell out of your little brother.
His father abused my